The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday happy hour. It's Election Day hangover, opening day hangover, Trump and Green Bay hangover edition.
Right. And hump day.
And hump day. You know, it's always a big hill to climb, making it through the week, Dom. You know, but now you're on the downside. The last hour of the day and your calls.
Coasting, welcome baby. Here.
Oh, you coast starting on Mondays. 844-967-2789. Wanted to thank my senator, Diane, don't call her Melissa Hasselbein. You know, Melissa Agard was the newly elected Senate minority leader in the great state of Wisconsin. We've known Melissa for years and years and years. And she briefly served in the minority leader capacity, Melissa Agard. And Diane has recently taken this role as Melissa has stepped aside to run for Dane County Executive. And I expect all of you good people to vote for Melissa Agard, those of you in Dane County at least, in the fall. She can be our next county executive. And she will bring out the marijuana policy, Dom. There will be another one. She'll hand off that, you know, puff and pass it on to the next one, that's I suspect. Right. But I apologize profusely to Diane. And, you know, we told a couple of stories out in the lobby, mostly about you. And anyways, hopefully she'll come around again. No telling yeah. Now, though. 844.
No promises.
967-2789. Dom, let's go to the phones. I've got some other thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts.
You have thoughts. But, you know, we love the audience. Our audience has thoughts. 844-967-2789. Who's first, Gertie?
Let's go with Mike from Menominee Falls. I love your name. Welcome to the show, Mike. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. As you know, we don't agree on politics, and that's okay, but I love having discussions with you about issues. I am not a Wisconsin resident. I am located here due to the military. I am a Florida resident. But when I see these referendums, I'm a native Wisconsinite. Let me preface that. And I think education is very, very important. But when I see these referendums, and I understand the education system here because I grew up here, there is a 0% chance that I would put my children in Milwaukee public schools or live in Milwaukee County and pay those ridiculous property taxes because I can just move further north and further away from all that nonsense, pay less in property taxes, have a better home and a less crime-ridden area, and have my children go to better schools. So I don't know why anybody in Milwaukee County would vote yes to raising their property taxes, because there are a lot of people in Milwaukee County as well.
Mike, some people
own homes and they rent.
Mike, some people want to stick around and make it better. I mean, do you understand investing in your community? That is a differing attitude.
Yeah,
I hear you very clearly, sir, saying I would never go there, but you're not apparently from there. I don't think the falls is
no,
just.
I grew up in Milwaukee. Yeah, I moved north to Germantown, Hartford, Slinger area to get away from Milwaukee and put my kids in better schools, because what seems to be happening, and correct me if I'm wrong, is more and more money keeps being thrown at the MPS school system, and you're not getting any results because the test scores and the reading and the writing comprehension are getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm not going to call it a political issue because I think that's a cop-out. And I understand that you guys are Democrats, but you're starting to see these school districts outside of Milwaukee County will use Elmbrook because they just had their referendum recently that got passed. And those are very left-leaning Democrat members that are on that board that are in that school district, because I fully believe that those people are moving their kids and their families out of Milwaukee County into different school districts, but they're bringing their politics and their views with them when they're voting in those school districts. Would that be incorrect statement, or would you think that would be correct?
Well, Mike, I don't know and I appreciate your call, sir. I don't know the geography in each and every community outside the Milwaukee area, and I don't want to speak to something that is not my expertise, but we know white flight's been going on from Milwaukee for a long time. People have been running away from the community of Milwaukee for a long time. It's been villainized. It's villainized each and every day on right-wing talk radio.
Well, it's not just Milwaukee. It happens over the years in many urban areas.
Sure. But particularly in the state of Wisconsin, where Scott Walker divided and conquered and made it a rural versus urban dynamic. And we hear that playing out in the words Mike uses. Well, I'd never enroll my kids in those schools. You know, I've gone up to lower property taxes in better schools. Well, I think what you're saying is whiter schools. That's what I hear, you know, and what I would say is we all want our kids to get a good education, have the opportunities and feel safe. But we also want to uplift the communities we live in. You know, I hate when I hear, you know, someone's not patriotic because they criticize America in some way, shape, or form, or they criticize their community. Well, there's a lot of dedicated Milwaukeeans that continue to live there, pay the taxes, voted guys like Dom. Dom's a selfish bastard, and he voted to raise his own taxes, and his kids are done with school. Why'd you do that, fella? I'm asking you, Dom. Why would you vote against your financial best interest? You could have squeezed a few more dollars on your bar tab, but you know, instead you got to give them to the city.
It's a chunk of money, man. And I did it because I think I'm in a position where I want to do what I can to support the community in which I live. To put it all on the property owners in Milwaukee, given the state funding formulas and how it all works. It's just been so devastating, to the public schools to have this. Come on, man. We can't talk about the public schools if we don't address the very specific issues with the vouchers and the charter schools.
Yeah.
You know, the
30,000 kids have been diverted from Milwaukee public schools. They have destroyed and the neighborhood school concept. Well.
And it set aside the fact that it, you know, subsidizes religious indoctrination, which should not be happening as a, you know, a church versus state kind of thing. But there's real dollars being diverted off into those areas. Number two, there's a lot of poor areas in the community, and there's resources are needed. And when people pull out, it becomes a downward spiral. So, I mean, if this is the solution for now to get us through the hump, I'm down with it. I want to invest in the community as I can to do what little part I can. But this is bigger than just the city of Milwaukee, the county of Milwaukee. This is a state issue. And when we have politicians that continually, you know, take from the resources that are needed for underserved areas and just give them to the kids that are already getting, I was one of them, man. My parents sent me to Appleton Xavier High School, a private Catholic high school. I went from public schools in Hortonville to Appleton Xavier in Appleton. And they didn't get a tax break. They didn't get a voucher. They went to pocket and they decided for themselves that they wanted their kids to go to this school. I didn't have a choice in it. You know how it is when you're a kid. Your parents tell
God's
you
God's will.
And I thought, man, that's crazy. How do they just go to their pocket? And they still paid the property taxes. Well, now you fast forward nowadays. Now you get the voucher from the government, you know, our tax dollars, to send the kids to the very same school in which they were going. So it's hard to discuss anything with regards to Milwaukee public schools or public schools in general if you don't discuss, I guess, the history and what we've done in the state of Wisconsin, you know, how we do it in Wisconsin. We're one of the first vouchers in the country. And now, I believe it maybe is Oklahoma, they're actually testing whether or not they can fund directly, not give the money to the parents, but give the money to like a religious voucher schools. It's the continual peeling off of the resources that drives me crazy.
844-967-2789. Jeannie from Middleton. Welcome, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
I have a slightly different take on the educational deal. Is I want you guys to understand I'm very much pro-education, but the biggest challenge I see today, I'm going to call generational change. You know, when I was growing up, it was really about taking somebody's aptitude and work ethic and passion and pairing that person to, let's just say, the right job.
Sure.
And today I find that we seem to not bring those factors into the equation at all. It's more about how one feels and, you know, like a process so such that there's really not very good use of, in my opinion, there's not very good use or match of resources so that society benefits in the end. What is your guys' take of how are we going to address that? Because AI is going to eliminate a lot of these nice jobs that everybody wants. And of course, you know, I want everything from a plumber, an electrician, to a carpenter, up to competent physicians and everything else. And right now, I'm not seeing society do that. How do we do better?
Well, Scott Walker would tell you, Jeannie, Wisconsin needs welders. And what I would say is that there should be encouragement of the trades. There should be opportunities to learn these things in the high school level. I mean, some people are not college bound. But the trades can pay one very, very well if one's willing to, you know, learn the skills, be a journeyman, train, go through an apprenticeship if necessary. And I would say those sort of working steps, those are the sort of people that deserve a union as well. You know what I mean? Like, those are the people that do real work.
Yeah, dangerous work environment, certainly. And Jeannie, the AI, you know, listen, it's going to take longer for, you know, the robots to take over the plumbing and welding jobs than it will for the AI to take over, you know, your mid-level management, your accounting and your HR positions. Those things are already getting peeled away as we speak. So there's a whatever shift happened in our generation, Jeannie, to what's coming next, it's going to be dramatic. There's no question about it. But it's also, I mean, people still need to eat and live and survive and prosper. And it's really hard to focus on, you know, arithmetic when you're hungry. Or you're scared of going home. Those kinds of trauma things that we deal with a lot. And let's not forget the mental issues and challenges that people can have as well. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. Come back with more of your phone calls after this short break.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You're welcome to join us on the lines. Back in the class style, 844-967-2789.
Dom, looking at a few of the contributions on the text line. Here's one coming in. Oh, I don't know which station, but one of the stations. Studies have shown the kids who grow up in diverse environments are more well-rounded, more empathetic, and better at problem-solving. I think that would be an avocation for living in a metro. Here's another one. Private schools perform better because they get to choose their students. It's a scam. I don't disagree. AI will be great for education. Imagine AI adjusting its techniques based on how well the child is learning and the material. We could end up with all children being taught by individually focused AI teachers and human teachers. Would oversee the AI. That sounds a little Orwellian to me, Dom. I don't want to learn from a chat bot.
Does it matter? I mean, what do you learn right now? You do a Google search, man. It's not like you're going to the library and digging up your own, you know.
I go to the microfiche sometimes.
No, you don't. Real quick here, too. Again, be patient. 844-967-2789. Ruth Kana from the Wisconsin Examiner put out October of 23. Test scores for quote-unquote recovering Wisconsin public schools far outpace voucher schools. You know, the assumption that just because it's a voucher school or some reason, automatically kids are going to test out better is not necessarily the case. It's just not. And if you think because all of a sudden you're in a smaller district outside of Milwaukee that you're automatically going to have great test scores, well, then you're assuming some things that perhaps are not accurate.
844-967-2789. Chris, you live outstate, man. Chris from Rice Lake. Welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I called in before you guys started talking about this, so I just want to make a quick comment and a question for you guys.
Sure.
So on this referendum up here, do you guys think that maybe the Democrats kind of gave up on it a little bit? Because there was no ads being run up here. There was no, newspaper ads explaining maybe what the referendum was. There was no letters to, the editors of newspapers. I mean, the majority of the people up here didn't really even, I believe, they didn't really even know what their referendum was all about. And there was no real help or explanation from the Democrats to make sure that everybody got it before they knew it, what to vote on or how to vote on it.
You know, it's surprising, Chris, because there was a lot of fear mongering going on right wing talk radio. And these constitutional referendums are really about satisfying the big lie. Those that think the last election was rigged because of Zuckerbucks or Dropboxes or whatever it is their twisted logic tells them. So, Chris, I don't know if losing these referendums, I mean, I don't know if I was Ben Wickler in the Democratic Party chair. He came on our show. He encouraged people to vote no, but I don't think I want the Democratic Party diverting resources to fight these referendum questions. I'd rather see them allocate people to help build the bench, build the assembly candidacies, recruit candidates, train staffers. You know, that's what's really important, Chris, because then we can actually go and solve some problems around here.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? The electorate is funny. I mean, it's one wave. You know, it's one wave one year, and it's another wave another year. But you know, I think that the timing of it was sneaky. I think that this whole issue of changing the Constitution to appease Donald Trump. I think it could have been presented by the Democrats a little bit better. And I don't think like letters to editors, in a Rice Lake newspaper or Eau Claire newspaper or Wausau newspaper, that doesn't cost much. You know what I mean? It's not a big resource, I don't think.
Chris, appreciate your thought. I'm not clear why the Democrats didn't feel like it was a more important battle to fight. I'm not clear that I would have allocated more resources, maybe time, maybe a few more interviews. A few more appearances on the Devil's Advocates. That's always going to get you a bump, right, Dom? 844-967-2789. Mark from Sussex, another conservative friend. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Good. For taking my call. Appreciate it. So by passing this referendum for $250 million on top of everything that they received during COVID when nobody was in school, is this going to make all those parents of Milwaukee public school parents, is this going to make them smarter, or is this just throwing bad money on top of more bad money on top of more bad money on top of more bad money?
Well, Mark, let me ask you something. If Milwaukee is the financial engine of the state, although that's not the way we treat it, we actually drain the resources from the city of Milwaukee. For every dollar they send to Madison, they get 67 cents back. Mark, if all we did was make a fair allocation of resources to Milwaukee predicated on taxes collected from Milwaukee, they'd be getting a hell of a lot more and they wouldn't have to do these referendums. We are squeezing life out of Milwaukee, sir, relative to the money they provide to the state. It's mischaracterized, Mark.
I understand that. But Tony Evers, my buddy Tony Evers, whatever, again, he's sitting on hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. He refused to give a tax cut. So what's he doing with that money? Why didn't he allocate that towards some of these other cities?
I'm not sure that the governor can make direct allocations. Why Evers has not taken the Republicans up on a few more of the middle class tax cuts? That's a head scratcher for me too, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you a question with regards to the private voucher school money. Do you think it's appropriate for tax dollars to be going towards religious schooling?
I absolutely do for any educational system. It's for the backing of government. Because, again, I want to go back to the Milwaukee Public School. We're through.
Well, hang on a second. So you're fine, Mark. I want to be clear here. So if I go to my school, my science class, and it tells me, you know, the Earth is, or the universe is billions of years old, and I go to my religion class, and they tell me this Earth is 6,000 years old, you think that's totally fine? You're okay with that?
I do, because on the opposite side of that is now they're teaching kids that even though you were born as a male, now you can become a female, and now you can go into women's locker rooms. And you, I mean, so there's an equilibrium there, my friend.
Mark, that's not really an issue. And I know that Governor Tony Evers, but I mean, relative to the number of trans kids in this nation, Mark, it's not a significant issue. The greater issue is the fact that by bullying these kids, we've perpetrated a lot of harm on these kids, and there's more suicides. And simple participation in sports. I had this argument with my family just the other day. Mark, I'm going to cut you off here because I want to say something. This simple participation in sports is good for kids. And to think that because one athlete rose up, one biological male who had transitioned to a female was good at swimming, and some poor girl got knocked from third to fourth place and her life's been wrecked. I can tell you what, there were a lot of biological males that were better at me than sports, and I tried really hard, but I had limitations. If someone is better, is it possible that once in a blue moon, one of these transitioning athletes is better than the competition? Yes. But there are like less than a dozen transitioning athletes competing in sports in the state of Wisconsin on the high school level, and less than 50 nationally competing on the NCAA level. Less than 50 athletes. And you're losing your freaking mind over it for no good reason.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Lots of callers, lots of people. Strong opinions this day after an election, Dom. We'll get to them. 844-967-2789. I have a strong opinion that the Journal Sentinel has stolen the thunder of tomorrow's 4:30 guest. We've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us tomorrow on the big show, Dom. The Journal Sentinel reporting at this hour. She will make an announcement in the morning that she is running for the 8th Congressional seat. That was the former Mike Gallagher seat. That's probably why I booked her for tomorrow, but the Journal Sentinel has beat us to the punch down there.
Damn it.
Actually, I think Jim Schmidt was the first one to report it yesterday on the Devil's Advocates radio show. He was also letting the cat out of the bag, but Dr. Lyerly joining the big show in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow, and also new Marquette University Law School polling. National polling, Charles Franklin will join us in the 5 o'clock happy hour tomorrow to discuss the new numbers on the snapshot of the opinion of the electorate. But we get it each and every day. We do a town hall, a focus group, all in one. You just got to dial 844-967-2789.
Crudy, once again, the Ruth Conniff piece at the Wisconsin Examiner from October of 23, just a few paragraphs to you know, give you some of the info. Listening to a Department of Public Instruction press conference on Wisconsin's students' test scores released this week, again at 23, it was easy to predict what the smash the state proponents of taxpayer-financed private schools would have to say. DPI delivered a glass-half-full analysis of the data, which shows Wisconsin public school students with proficiency rates well below 50% of the statewide standard in both reading and math. Overall, public school students achieve 38.9% proficiency in English and language arts and 37.4% proficiency in math. As the department press release explained, this is an improvement since the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah, that wrecked education. They are the best scores Wisconsin kids have received since the 2018-2019 school year. Now, the right-wing Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty wasted no time releasing a response by researcher Will Flanders, that guy from The Simpsons. The results are in. Wisconsin schools are failing kids. But wait a minute, Ruth Conniff writes. How do the private voucher schools Will promotes as the answer to our quote-unquote failing schools do on the same statewide tests? According to the same proficiency data released on Tuesday, again at 23, schools in the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program scored almost 17 points worse than public schools in English and language arts, with a total proficiency of 22.1 compared to the public schools 38.9. They did even worse in math, almost 20 points behind public schools students with a voucher score of 17.9 compared to the public 37.4. So much for the voucher program as a magic bullet to fix education. Landers, again, the Will guy, skips over the inconvenient top line number that shows voucher schools as a group score significantly lower than public schools as a group, and asserts that once again, the schools in the choice program are outperforming their public school peers. He reaches this conclusion by ignoring the big picture completely and focusing only on areas where the data looks better for vouchers. Facts don't matter to Wisconsin's powerful school privatization lobby. 3 decades of unimpressive results from the state's ever-expanding school choice experiment didn't stop the legislature, again in 23, from striking a deal with the governor to give a hefty bump in taxpayer dollars for students in private schools this year. Yeah, let's not forget that. And the budgetary burden of financing two whole school systems, one public and one private, hasn't given state leaders enough pause to block enrollment caps from coming off the voucher program altogether in a couple of years.
Uncapped mandates, love them here under Republican rule. You know, fiscally conservative that they are.
Well, as long as they're teaching you Jesus.
Oakley doakley, then. 844-967-2789. Let's go back to our audience. Drew from Lake Mills. Welcome, Drew. What do you got for us?
Hello, Drew.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. Thank you.
All right. So I just need to maybe correct the record, or basically I need to make sure that rhetoric is not mistaken for fact, okay? And your previous caller, you know, conservative gentleman, talked about how schools are teaching that transgender is okay, all right? So I'm an administrator in a large middle school in Dane County. And I need all of you conservatives to turn up your radios and actually listen to somebody who does this work every day. Don't just rely on all the crap you see on right-wing Fox News and whatever, right?
Don't forget childless Vicky McKenna. She's always got something to say about transgenders getting in the bathrooms.
So here's how this actually works, okay? So if we have a student that comes to their counselor or comes to their office or comes to their teacher and says, I'm feeling like I'm not the person I should be. We talk about it. We don't tell them right, wrong. We don't do left, right. We don't do whatever. We listen to what the student has to say. Then we reach out to parents and say, here's what your child is going through. Do you know about this? Parents either say yes or no. And then we have conversations with the parents about it. At that point, the school is out of it. It's up to the parents how they want things to proceed. We don't teach them anything is right or wrong. We simply listen to them and inform their parents. Whatever happens after that is up to the parents and the child. So please, for the love of God, everybody, stop listening to people who don't work in schools. Listen to the people who do, and I will tell you exactly how we do things, okay? I'm very fired up about this because So many people feel like they know everything about schools because they went to one. Well, you know what? I've been on an airplane. Could I fly an airplane? Heck no, I could not fly an airplane. So stop. Just because you went to school doesn't mean you're an expert at school.
But I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, Drew. I appreciate your call, man. It's always great to get insights. I can give you one. I've told this story before, but I think it bears repeating. I've got a in-law who is a school administrator in Dane County and was called up to the Capitol. And this is some years ago, 6-8 years ago. And at that point, it was Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, Republican, and I believe Robin Voss. And they bragged to the school administrator that they loved the fact that the Wisconsin schools have to continue to run referendums. They never raise your taxes. You raise your taxes. So by failing to properly fund the school districts, they force these hard decisions on the individual communities. And then they, if you're MMAC, they try to fund the opposition to your local community's referendums because local control, they're always for it. 844-967-2789. That's Irony Dom. Lavelle calling in from Cobb. Welcome, Lavelle. What do you got for us?
Hey, Lavelle. I appreciate y'all taking my call. I got the problem with the governor done did when he let the transsexuals compete against the sport. What I'm saying is, why don't they have a class, a whole a section for just they can compete against themselves? Is what.
Lavelle, here's the problem. You're talking about a statistically insignificant number of athletes. I am all for participation in sports. I regret that my son went to such a large high school that it's very competitive. You know, there's cutdowns and differing stuff. I went to a small school and I participated. And why wouldn't we want these other kids to have the right to participate in sports? So very few of us go on and play college sports or go to the NFL or the NBA or the WNBA. This is really about camaraderie and learning teamwork and working hard towards something. And the fact that this has been so created as an issue, I mean, literally, we're talking about a couple dozen kids nationwide here, Lavelle. You know, this is not a significant number. There might be a dozen kids. There's like three or four acknowledged transgender athletes currently participating in Wisconsin sports statewide. You couldn't even get a euchre hand going if one of them was sick one day. You know what I mean? So this is not an issue. When you've got four people in a population of 5.8 million, this should not be an issue.
Oh, but it is an issue because we're making it an issue. It's got to be an issue. Number one, God. And number two, I mean, you have a man dressed as a woman and a woman dressed as a man. This is craziness. I mean, this is how they see it. This is how they react to it. And it's another way to, you know, fire up the base and divide people. You're absolutely right, Crudy. It is a statistically insignificant number of people, but they're a huge minority and they're very abused. I mean, obviously, look at the kind of conversations we are having in this regard. So few people, but boy, everyone's got an opinion on it, don't they?
844-967-2789. Our friend, L.A. Tom, who owns the Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages in L.A. We've been in that fine listing for years. I think Tom still got us in there. Tom, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget it. And that means all of us, not just you straight white men out there. You know, put yourself in the shoes of someone that grew up gay in your small little town, like I did, that took my talent and went to California because I couldn't take some of you idiots. You're idiots. And yes, I played sports, and yes, I played college sports. But you know what? I'm not going to sit around and listen to you guys, and you're just not understanding human beings. It is absolutely deplorable. Second, Cassandra, the Democrats and the Republicans in the Senate put together a bill, an immigration bill, that they didn't agree with everything. Donald Trump was the one that blew that thing up and told the House not to do it. So quit putting this on the Democrat. The Democrats had an immigration bill, and it was passed by the Senate. It was the House that would not bring it up. And Cassandra, I know you're smart enough to know the three branches of government, so don't use that as an excuse. Third, please. I'm going to say Melissa, and it's not Melissa. Diane, it's not spend. You're not going to spend a bunch of money. You're investing money in education so you can get a return on the investment. Investing in kids, investing in the future. I thought that's what Wisconsin was about. And you have people on the Republican side that are sitting on billions of dollars that haven't released that money to the public schools. Today really, really made me realize why it was that I left the state of Wisconsin. And I haven't felt that way in a very, very long time. You rednecks, seriously, go under your hoods, because I've heard racism, I've heard sexism, I've heard
transphobia today on the radio that I just can't even believe, because you guys have never walked in the shoes. You know, go walk in the shoes of someone else, like Jesus Christ said. You know what? And then maybe you will actually have a little bit of empathy for other people. And for you idiots that call up and call up the Democrat Party, you sound like a bunch of idiots. It's the Democratic Party. Get it straight. You're just a bunch of dumb blanks. I won't say the word. I won't say pussy like your president does. The guy that every time he opens his lips, he's lying about something. Grow up. Y'all need to grow up.
Tom, you might have said that. You might have let it slip. Just saying. 844-967-2789. Always appreciate your passionate calls.
And you're spot on, Tom. You know, it's amazing the humanity or lack thereof. When something happens to them, to us, to a person, you know, then you get it, right? Then you understand. If you're, you know, straight, white, middle-aged guy in this country, you know, things are pretty good for you, generally speaking. You're gonna be okay. You're not gonna have institutional racism coming at you. You know, you're not gonna have the transphobia. You're not gonna have the anti-gay. You're not gonna be singled out at the clubs for mass shootings. You know, the empathy is certainly lacking. And I think that's also part of the lack of education. Let's just be honest here, folks. Read a book, do a little bit of traveling. That'd be good for you.
Yeah, but some of our conservative friends might feel uncomfortable talking to their kids because, you know, it's hard to translate one's small-mindedness and rationalize it properly. It makes it a very difficult conversation.
Yeah, yeah. The reason why it is uncomfortable is because you're not supposed to be like that. Open your mind, man.
What would Jesus do? He'd come back and listen to more Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789.
Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now, 844-967-2789. And stick around, our pals from Busted Pencils coming up next.
They have a few educated opinions about education.
Yes, they do.
Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, Diane Hesselbein's my senator as well, and I really appreciate, you know, I call frequently to tell her office to appreciate how much she does for our district and for our state. And for the referendums, it's sad that they passed, but now we have to hold the Republicans to account until hopefully the Democrats take over in November, that they actually have to adequately fund our elections, because I think that's failure to fund our elections, I think, is a violation of our Constitution. You know, that I think it's an abridgment of our right to vote, and that failure to fund them is simply that. And for these fools that are calling up and complaining about transgender people, as has been pointed out, the percentage of those people is so tiny, the overall impact is should not be overblown the way they do it. And people need to be treated with compassion and respect, and recognizing the fact that each one of us is unique. I mean, that, and it is just sad that people are getting bent out of shape over that word. It just is something that simply shouldn't. I don't know. It just is hard to wrap my mind around the hatred of those folks, and that try reading a little bit of science fiction. Read about the, you know, planets people have posited where people are both sexes rolled up into one, like the Ursula K. Le Guin's brilliant piece of work, Left Hand of Darkness.
Sounds like homework there, Mark. I don't think they're going to do it. Thanks for the call, man. But you're right. I mean, yes. I mean, open your mind, man. Get out of the Tri-County area for real.
844-967-2789. Wisco Paul. What do you got for us, Wisco?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Very informative show today. Well, heck, just last week, I think a conservative guy called in and was talking about Viagra and stuff. So, man,
that was
man.
Gary from Sussex. Said his memory's improved since he's been taking the Viagra. I just think maybe he's not quite as backed up as he used to be.
Hey, I got to get that one out of my mind.
Thanks, Crudy.
today, I voted no on the referendums, both of them. But if I read the article right in the Milwaukee Journal, winners and losers, what the gentleman in there, I think it was Bryce, I'm not sure, you have to fact check me on this. He was saying it's almost going to take, or not almost, but it's going to take a lawyer to figure out how we change the Constitution with them two referendums.
Well, the constitutional language of these referendums are so overly broad. What Bice implies is somebody's going to get paid sussing this out in a court of law, because these are not well-executed pieces of legislation. This was a subsection 7.3 should be amended to, you know, it wasn't written for transparency or for actual effectiveness. It was written to turn out the conservative voters.
Yeah, that's why I voted no on both of them. But that's really sad when you're changing your constitution and you really don't know what you're changing it to and people still vote for it. That was just my thought of the day. Thanks for your show, you boys.
Thank you for listening to it, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
A good contributor. I think it's a precursor for what is to come. This is part of the new Republican long game. I think they will continue to use constitutional amendments because it's an ends to a means, right? I mean, they started, if I recall, by sticking it to then Justice Shirley Abrahamson. She was the chief of the Supreme Court, and the Republicans took that position away from her through constitutional referendum. And I know you and I didn't see eye to eye on that. They, you know, reset what it was that made you the chief. And effectively, they did so to steal that away from the then chief because they didn't like her, despite the fact she was a nationally respected jurist and at least once considered for the U.S. Supreme Court. This is more to come. So watch that space, because you're going to see a lot more of these sort of referendums as long as they've got enough legislative juice to put them on the ballot. Because people don't pay attention in these spring elections. It's not well sussed out. People don't know what the hell these things meant.
Well,
they got
to
behind
the point
them.
Of the caller from up north. You know, there's a lot of ambiguity in the language itself. And if those that are not against it are articulating specifically what it means, why we're here, what it's doing. And, you know, if you got to get to that degree, man, you know, people's attention spans are real short these days.
844-967-2789. I've known you since college. You always had a brief attention span, let's just say. CJ, against my better judgment, CJ, I'm going to give you the last word of the day, man. What was your reaction to the election in Wisconsin yesterday?
Amen. 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 So, you know, I listen to you guys, and I don't know what sport you want biological men. It's okay to play. You promote it. Keep driving this stuff home, okay? And the numbers of our public schools, keep touting that, because it should be a parent's choice to send their kids to school that's trying to educate them.
But it should be the taxpayer's choice whether or not we fund two educational systems, because the Constitution calls for one, CJ. But now all of a sudden we've got this unfunded mandate.
They should be able to take that money and put it in a school where the teachers are teaching them reading, writing, and arithmetic. I had a kid show up on the job that couldn't read a tape measure at 18 years old. That's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know what? Not a tape measure at 52 years old.
You know, I didn't take a whole lot of shop classes at my private Xavier High School. We didn't have shop classes. And let's just be very clear about this. This is a subsidization of religion that's going on here. Let's just be frank. A little bit from Gallup here. In the 4 years before the pandemic, an average of 34% of U.S. adults say they attended a church, synagogue, mosque, or temple in the past 7 days. That's down to like 30%. That was last year.
They need the dues
down, man. If you lose 10% of your revenue, well, you got to tap that vein. Go to the public. Go to the trough. Go to the tax dollars. to support your subsidization that the Earth is 6,000 years old. Tell me more about what you're teaching, CJ.
You know, nothing but facts. There's Jewish space lasers out there, and you should be afraid of them. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Senator Dianne Hesselbein, my senator, and also Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. Don't forget, he plays out across Civic Media, 8 to 10 a.m. Start with WAUK. And Busted Pencils, educated educators talking education, not out of their butt like some of our callers earlier today.